Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the Driving Mall Show here on New Zealand Sports Radio. And hi, I'm Paul. I'll be your host this evening. And if you think I've got more energy, that's because I've got to keep up with my guest tonight, a man who has been away from the show for far too long, but it's great to have him back. It's Cornflake, good-looking Steve from the Deep South. How are you doing, sir?
More energy. I'll take that. I'm good. Yourself? Long time no see. This just happened to be passing by this part of the block, so I thought I'd just, you know, stop in for a quiet beverage since this is a drinking show, isn't it, on a Monday night.
Absolutely.
Since we're all having a great holiday. You know, no one has to work today unless you're a poor sap that works in retail and has to deal with all the rubbish that people go on with. But, yeah, hey, sweet, no work. Free time, I'm back.
You're back in your bed. And yeah, and obviously you don't work in retail anymore, which is a good thing. Evening, Robbie, who's in the live chat. Because yeah, now you've moved on upwards and onwards.
Rob, I like Robbie.
You like Robbie, do you? That's good. You like Robbie because you're a Pacers fan.
He can recognize the tank of 2022, but don't worry, 2023 will be different.
It'll be your year. Don't worry, your year next year.
Easy, worry. It's easy,
as they say. So what we're going to do tonight? Well, we'll have a quick chat out some news, with some signing news, a bit of Black Ferns chat because hey, why not? Then we will have a talk about the Super Rugby that has the final rounds, where the sides were segregated, a bit like football fans who are kept either side of the Tasman or in separate sections of the stadium. But no, we're going to become more rugby-like and getting together from next week. Robbie says, does he know me? I don't know if he knows you or not, Robbie.
Not from a bar of soap.
It might just be the fact that you can recognise a Pacers logo, and therefore he's a friend of yours. Anybody who recognises anything to do with basketball, or just anything with Pacers anyway.
Anything of sport, yeah, I'm on board.
You're on board, absolutely. So, yes, and sticking with the US, why Zaki Nuholo has signed for Rooney or Rugby United New York over there. He was, the Crusaders were... asking fans to stop chanting "Why Zaki Nuholo" at the game against the Highlanders because he wasn't involved in the game, he pops up heading overseas. So, what do you think of that signing? Do you think a good move for Waizaki?
A good move for the MLR, I guess overall. But get a player of his calibre, I think any team he goes to is going to be good. But there's only one stipulation when you sign Waizaki Nuholo, is that you do the Waizaki Nuholo chant. it just goes hand in hand. You can't have the good man without chanting his name as he's scorching down the wing to score yet another try. Yeah, I mean, great player. Oh, I guess, yeah, I know twilight years of his career now, so, you know, cashing in all that sort of good jazz like they do. So, yeah, good on him. Good on them getting him over there. I mean, he wasn't doing much here, was he? He's just sitting on the sidelines and enjoying probably getting paid to do some training runs during the week. So, yeah, it's got to be good. Good for America.
Yeah, look, I think it'll be a good sign. He'll be able to take a lot of experience over there. He was training with the Crusaders for a bit, but clearly didn't make it into their main squad where his brother is now, but doesn't seem to have played very much. It'll be good for him. Is Waizaki Naholo Fijian born? Ooh, I don't know. I'll let Cornflake do the old Google while I catch up on some other news.
That's correct.
He is. Yes. Oh, well, therefore, has he been out of more than 3 years playing since he played for the All Blacks? Probably. Could he turn out for Fiji in rugby union? Yes. Is Fiji short of good wingers? No.
Yeah, it's probably the only position that he would get away with, isn't it? Oh, jeez. 4 years he's been out. 2018, according to this, was his last All Black test.
So there you go. So, yes, so folks, unfortunately, I can't see him turning out for Fiji personally. I just think, too much competition in the position that he plays in. Let's be honest with that one. Simon giving us all of the wonderful facts. Yeah, Rooney playing a high school field in New Jersey, apparently. So they don't even play in New York. Oh, dear me. False advertising. That's what that is. Fake news.
The thing is with American sport is that their college or high school fields or, all those are almost bigger than their fully professional sports fields. The college stuff is so huge over there. It doesn't matter. You think mentality in New Zealand is like, high school, there'll be, three people over there with the sheet, on the sideline and maybe some poor old sap that's been stuck in the scorer's box for the last 300 years. But, America's a whole different world.
Is the guy you're speaking with the cornflake guy, Johan? Yes, he is. That's right. He is the cornflake guy. Has his own YouTube channel, so check out, Cornflake's Crib. Or what are you calling it nowadays?
Just Cornflake, pretty much now.
Just Cornflake. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the home of rugby gaming.
They used to be Under the Posts as well. Was another. Yep. That's still going?
It's still fleetingly. Yep, when I have time. Yep.
So there you go, folks. Yes, it is. Yes, it is Cornflake. Do check out his channel, especially if you like rugby computer games, because that's your kind of niche in there. Simon brought us some news over from Europe. So congratulations to, here we go. Leslie Tanos, 15, of Portugal, playing the Black Lion of Georgia. The Black Lion is easy. I'm sure that's not the way they say it locally. But anyway, who have both made the inaugural European Super Cup final. So congratulations to them on that one. It would be nice if winning that got them entry into the next tier up of club competitions, but I doubt it does. Congratulations to them on that one. Robbie, is a great fan of, is a great, likes, loves to take his show away from rugby. You want to know who's going to win the NBA? Go on then. I'll leave that one for you quickly there.
Oh, jeez. While we're on the topic, the great thing about the NBA this year is it's wide open. A number of teams could possibly win it this year. But what's entertaining and fun about it at the same time is there's no LA teams in the playoffs. So that's always a fun part about it. But it's going to be hard to beat a team like the Phoenix Suns. Milwaukee Bucks are going to be right up there, as they always have been recently as well. So, take a stab at one of those two, same conference. But, not the Pacers anyway, that's for sure. Next year, though.
Next year. Dylan Van Baal won the Paris-Roubaix cycle race last night as well. So there we go. That's why I was up till 3 a.m. But anyway, back to rugby. We'll get through some of the important news now, or important things. Cornflake, do you prefer Rugby 22 or Rugby Challenge 4? Which one's the better game?
I'm still on Rugby Challenge 4 all the way. Easy question. Rugby 22 or the rugby games? Subpar for me. I'll still go off the old trusty.
There you go, folks. Surely the old trusty is John Olomu rugby, isn't it?
That's the pinnacle of sport. Yep, that definitely is number one.
The other kind of, that was kind of small news. There's been the other kind of news, actually, since you're down that way, I wasn't going to talk about this, but because I've got a guy from Southland, Matt James. Is back with the Stags. He's re-signed. So there we go. So some good news for you guys, the looking to add to his 27 caps in the maroon jersey. Any thoughts on Matt James?
They've signed a number of players over recent, I think, weeks, probably a couple of weeks. Now they've signed quite a number of players. I am a teenager. What are you on about? Youth is just flowing through me, 100%. The Stags, Stags have built a good core of players out there. They're retaining. I think it's probably the key thing about it is that they're keeping these guys season on season. So they keep doing that. You know, a lot of young talent in there, a lot of young players coming through. So, yeah, it's good. It's good that they're retaining these guys because years gone by, you know, it's get a little bit of a name for yourself and then off to Canterbury, off to Auckland. You know, they go to the big smoke, but it's coming the other way now. They're coming down here and they're actually staying here because it's getting a bit more recognition. And the pathway, you know, from 20 years ago has changed massively. You can make Super Rugby teams out of South and now out of Taranaki, out of North Harbour. You know, you don't need to be in Otago, Canterbury, Auckland, Waikato to make those Super Rugby sites. So the game's changed, and I think it's the benefit for Southland. And, you know, we've got that good coaching set up now as well. That experience in Super Rugby as well for Minor Pacifica is definitely helping.
Yeah. And you say it is good the path where the players don't have to go to one of the five centres to make Super Rugby. They can do it, which makes provincial rugby much better. So that's good to see. The big news of the week, though, is around the Black Ferns and the kind of mess that is happening there, unfortunately, that's come about some with the obviously the review, which I talked about with Stephen Harris last week. So you go back and listen to last week's show. We're not going to go through the Black Ferns review in this show, but some of the fallout that's come from it. Part of that is that Glenmore has decided to resign from his position as the Black Ferns head coach. He was kept in that one in that role, as Simon says. He's not surprised. Yeah, it's not surprising, really. Look, I mean, on the day when they did announce the Black Fern review, he released his own statement by a separate PR company, not through New Zealand Rugby. Let's be honest, New Zealand Rugby, one of the areas that they are well staffed on is PR people. That showed that he was having to, he was sort of looking after himself on that one. There always seemed to be that kind of thing. But part of the review was the management weren't getting enough support. Maybe he wasn't getting enough support around PR as well, and so had to hire his own people to look after him. Nocturne Wright says, sounds like Glenmore has jumped rather than go with the changes in coaching help given. No, I don't think that is what's happened here. I think he was on board with the changes, but there was increasing pressure on New Zealand Rugby for him to go. There's lots of media articles and things going on questioning how you could have such a damning review and then not change the coach. Part of that is because a lot of the problems were with New Zealand Rugby, not with him. And the fact that he wasn't giving enough support staff, he wasn't giving enough training to do all that part of things. But it doesn't surprise me that he's gone. Steve, have you been following this story much or not at all?
Yeah, I mean, briefly following about what's been happening, but it's not a good look, is it, really? I mean, I think that tour at the end of last year kind of, I guess, probably opened a bit more eyes and a bit more exposed, I guess, a bit more of what's happening in that camp than I guess most people would know or see of as well. So I think that's kind of opened it up. It's been looked into. It looks bad on pretty much everyone involved with New Zealand Rugby, the Black Ferns, and just the whole setup kind of asks more questions than gives you answers about what is going on there. And it's a bit of a bad look, but it's a bit concerning is what I was trying to look for there. Just because, you know, where we are and the push on the women's game and other things apart from just the men's sport. So this kind of, yeah, gives you a bit more of a question mark about what's going on there. And are the right things happening? Are the right people doing the right jobs? Is the support given to the right people? Is the right things happening? Are the players getting the support they need? Are they actually getting what they require to excel at their position or at their job and sort of thing. So, yeah, we'll see what happens from it, I guess. But, yeah, it's not a good look.
The there's a couple of questions in the chat that we will get around to, but we'll stick on the Black Ferns for now. It'd be interesting to see who replaces him. I mean, Wayne Smith is already in there, as is Graham Henry. Graham Henry's there as a Graham Henry.
Yeah, that's Graham Henry.
As a but as a selector and as kind of a mentor role rather than being in a tracksuit, whereas Wayne Smith is in day-to-day in a tracksuit there. So will Wayne Smith step up to the head coach role? Alan Bunting, who's recently stepped down as the Blackburn Sevens head coach to spend more time to be sort of more based rather than from around the world, successfully coached the Waikato Chiefs. Waitomo Chiefs Manawa, being sponsored by Waitomo Petrol, to the inaugural Super Rugby Alpaki title. So far, they have not lost a game. So would he come in? An article and stuff does make a good point that they would like to have a female coach, but at the moment, none of the Super Rugby Alpaki teams had a female head coach. None of the male provinces or Super Rugby sides or national teams that I'm aware of have a female head coach. So throwing a female head coach into that would be really be putting her basically in a position where she's just set up to fail, really, because she hasn't got the experience behind her. Even at Farrah Palmer Cup level, there was only one, maybe two female head coaches there. So really there is a... bringing a female head coach in, I think, would be asking a lot for them to step up to that with a Rugby World Cup only 6 months away on that one. A couple of people in there mentioning Anne Richards. Coming in as part of the coaching team, absolutely. Bring her in to get the experience of what international coaching is about, but don't throw her in into a head coaching role before. If she feels ready, I mean, she's not going to say no to the role, is she? But I think it would be unfair to throw someone in who hasn't had previous experience. I don't know what your thoughts. Conflict.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to find the right balance or the right answer, especially now that it's getting so much more publicity and it's out there so much more now as well. So are you setting someone up to fail to get that? And, you know, in the public eye of the spotlight, which the women's game is becoming more and more now, are you doing the right thing? I think a team, if you want to really bring everyone or bring people through, it has to be a squad sort of coaching group to do the right job. So get everyone involved, get people involved, get some experience involved, get some people coming through, some women coaches, and just learn. It's getting to the point now where it's a bit, you can't really just back away from this. You've got to approach it and deal with it and do the right things, I guess. And if that is bringing in those sort of coaches, giving them experience, bring them through the different pathways up to that sort of level, then that's got to be good for the game. You've got to approach this correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that also has come out recently is that there was supposed to be a reset meeting in January 2021 where senior players, player representatives, i.e. New Zealand Rugby Player Association, Black Ferns management, including more, and New Zealand rugby officials met. So we're talking over a year ago now, and sort of like 10 or so months before the bad tour. In that one, apparently it was supposed to be a constructive meeting where everyone seemed to agree on the way forward. They mentioned communication and cultural issues were a big part of the things going on there. So it looks like that people knew that there was a problem that they had a meeting about it. They acknowledged there was a problem. They agreed how to go forward and then didn't implement those for whatever reason. Now, whether that was, as has been sort of come out in this report, not enough resources, not the right support to be able to make those changes. Well, that's part of it. COVID towards the second half of the year with lockdowns in Auckland and stuff. Sure, that was a bit of an issue, but clearly that reset meeting didn't work. The fact that the Black Ferns players are asking for the review people to stay in and oversee and provide a governance role, that the 26 recommendations do get implemented, suggests a lack of trust in New Zealand rugby to provide that governance themselves as well. So there's definitely a rebuild of trust between between the players and New Zealand rugby that needs to be rebuilt, I think, over this time. So anyway, interesting that it was that these issues were known about at least a year ahead of time, but not dealt with, which I think, again, leads you to this piece that is New Zealand rugby really committed to women's to the women's game? They knew there was a problem. They saw the problem. They didn't provide enough governance. They didn't provide the governance to make sure the changes made that were agreed. There's no one on the board that oversees the women's game. It does feel a bit like lip service and done for PR rather than actually trying to do things, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a bit sad, isn't it, really? You'd think that, like I said before, it's a bad look. So when they're doing this and just making it sound and look like they're doing the right thing, when it backfires and it comes back on you like this, it just makes you look like an absolute fool. And that is worse than trying to do something about it and maybe not getting it right, you know. At least make an effort, like you're actually trying to do what you're saying you are going to do, rather than just saying, yes, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're planning to do this, and then, oh, 2 years later, nothing happened. It's sad. It really is sad.
Yep. A couple of questions that have been mentioned in the live chat. So Johan Rugby says, do you think that Ireland have a decent chance to win the three test series against the All Blacks in July? Cornflake, I'll let you kick off on that one.
Do they have a decent chance to win the series? I'd say the series would be a tough ask, but certainly win a match. Definitely they will. I mean, it depends how this is approached by the All Blacks and the state that that team is in as well. We still have half of Super Rugby Pacific to go through as well. So big players are already missing. You know, we just lost Antoinette Brown a week ago. Key cogs, that team missing. So if they approach this with the best team as they probably can, I think we have a good, decent series on our hands. I think they have a chance to definitely win the series. I'll definitely give them at least one match or one test out of it straight away. But the series, yeah, chance, decent chance, yeah. But yeah, definitely a chance, I think. They're good. And it depends on who they send over as well. Quite often we've seen these Northern Hemisphere teams not send their peak players. Of course, they're going through their domestic season right now too, and they could easily lose key players. So I'd still consider the All Blacks decent favourites to take out the series. 2-1 would be my guess. I think even though the Irish will come in with a strong game straight off the bat and steal the first test, and we'll go, oh no, the world's coming to an end, and then sort ourselves out. Or else, you know, they'll pip the third one in the end when it's kind of all over Red Rover. But yeah, who comes, who's here, who's fit is going to be the big thing. But I think it's going to be a competitive series. I don't think we're going to see any, you know, 40-10, you know, hidings like we saw 5 or so years ago. I think it's going to be a decent competitive series, and Ireland will definitely do themselves very good justice.
Look, this is the first series in a very, very long time. And we're talking probably going back to maybe 2002, maybe, with England coming over with the team that went on to the Rugby World Cup, where New Zealand aren't out and out strong favourites, right? This is doubting down as the most competitive series in like 20 years. Potentially more so than the Lions tour, to be honest with you. So I definitely think it's so. Are they in with a decent chance? Yes, they're in with a chance. Are they favourites? No, I don't think so. The All Blacks are still favourites to win the tour, but I totally agree. I think it's going to be 2-1 either way. I can't see either side winning all three games. And that is a massive leap for them, because let's be honest, Ireland has never won. Never beaten New Zealand in New Zealand. Right, they've won three games against New Zealand, two of them in Ireland, one in the USA. In their entire history, but it does come down to, and John and Johan makes this big question here. Ireland will die in New Zealand if they don't have Johnny Sexton. Absolutely. They have depth in pretty much every other position apart from 10. And yes, they do need Johnny Sexton to be fit for them, I believe. Carberry is not anywhere near Johnny Sexton's level. He's a decent fly half, don't get me wrong, but he's not that kind of level of fly half. So I do think it will come down to him. There is a bit of a question. Look, obviously, they're coming off the back of a Lions year last year. So will they be resting the British and Irish Lions players? We will have to see. What's the other word I'm looking for? I've gone blank now as to what that one is. But Simon Hughes points out that Chicago is the most Irish city in America. It's the 33rd county. Maybe so, but they still have to travel there, right? Ireland will make history on this tour by winning a test. Will they make history by winning a tour? Let's wait and see. But boy, looking forward to it. Shame I'm not going to get a media pass.
it's a tough one. I think we're going to learn a lot about the All Blacks' direction this year. I think is that first, hopefully, will continue proper season almost of rugby for a couple of years now. Yeah, a lot of question marks over the way that the coaching set up of this team and the player set up, obviously, as well. But I think because we play, you know, the Springboks, we play Australia, we play the Pumas, and yeah, okay, we lose the Wallabies, we lose the Springboks every now and then. But I think a loss to Ireland at home will be kind of a bit more of a wake-up call than a loss to the Springboks or the Wallabies or the Pumas even. I mean, geez, we lost to the Pumas as well. We kind of accept that, which isn't a very New Zealand rugby way of dealing with it. But I think Ireland will probably kick a few people in the pants more than the others will. So this could be a bit of a wake-up call, how they respond. Yeah, what will be interesting for me is if Ireland come over here and they win the first test, how the All Blacks react or how they go into test number two is going to be the big thing. So that's what I'm interested to see. If that happens, how test two goes. Do we bounce back and thresh them?
Interesting to see how the media reacts and how the public react. That'll be, yes. Because how many wake-up calls do we need before something actually changes, folks? Simon Hughes says here, according to the TVNZ News, Super Rugby ratings have dropped on television and the crowd attendance is bad. That's a problem New Zealand Rugby needs to sort out. Yes, put bluntly. There was too much of a, hooray, look, we've come out of we've locked everyone up for 3 months and they all want to do something. They all turn up to rugby. Yay, we've had good crowds. We've had good viewership. Yes, because we locked people up for 3 months. We can't lock people up for 3 months every year just to get good Super Rugby crowds. It'll be there are a number of red flags at the moment in for New Zealand rugby and the only response I can see so far is we need Silver Lake money. Money's the answer. I'm sorry, but I'm not sure that. Yes, you need money to do things, but if you don't spend that money properly, you're not going to change anything. So at the moment, I've not seen anything where I think they will spend that money properly to rebuild the game in New Zealand, because it is definitely on the slippery slide there. Aaron says public won't be surprised if the All Blacks lose a test to Ireland. I'm not so sure. I think there's a whole bunch of people. I think there's a large section of the public who don't really follow rugby that much until an All Black test comes on, and they just expect the All Blacks to win.
New Zealand is very narrow-sighted. So, but whether it's because we're a faraway little island miles away from anyone, but a good portion of New Zealanders see New Zealand, and it's like, oh, Here come Ireland. Okay, Ireland are in our vision now. Oh, we lost. Freak out. Because the last time they saw Ireland was probably the World Cup, you know, back in 2019 or possibly even before then. So, yeah. And I mean, what was that third, fourth playoff? Was a bit of a hiding, wasn't it? No, it was a quarterfinal, wasn't it, against Ireland, that they got absolutely pumped by the All Blacks in that World Cup. So that's really the last time they've seen Ireland. People here don't watch the Six Nations. They don't watch any sort of domestic rugby or Champions Cup or anything like that. So, yeah, I think personally, no, I wouldn't be surprised. But I think most people that have their last memory of Ireland getting thumped in that quarterfinal of the Rugby World Cup 3 years ago, they come here and then they win a test. Yeah, it's freak out time, big time.
Yep. Aaron says here, if the All Blacks lose a test to Ireland, will that be enough to get rid of Fozzie? No. again, because of money. They can't. Well, two things. A, money. They can't afford to pay Fozzie off now that he's got a two-year contract through the next Rugby World Cup. They'll also say, oh, it's too close to Rugby World Cup. We can't get rid of him. And also, he's part of the old boys' Blaze Brigade, isn't he? Essentially. So, no.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't. He's going nowhere. Regardless, I think they could lose a series 3-0 to Ireland and they'd probably be going nowhere. It's just they're too stuck now on this plan. The plan worked for a start, didn't it, with the old Graham Henry days, and give him another chance. Everyone went, no, don't give him another chance, and he wins a World Cup. And it's like, okay. And that followed on through, all right. But now it's getting a little bit short. I think Steve Hansen days we accepted and thought, okay, could be worse. But it feels like it's going down that slippery slope, doesn't it? And who's next? Who's next? Who's the assistant that's next to step up? You know, it's surely he can't go to another World Cup, can he? God, imagine the public then.
Oh, well, look, I mean, I think everyone is expecting Razors to take over. Let's be blunt.
We thought that last year, didn't we?
No, I think it's pretty clear he wasn't going to. I'll agree that the general public feel was that it wanted him to, yep. But I think it was never going to happen. Even though for me, I don't care who the head coach is. I want Tony Brown as the assistant coach, which means Jamie Joseph has to be head coach because that's the only person Tony Brown will work with.
It's said a good combination.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Bring it on. Yeah, international experience. Joseph,
yep. Oh, I've just realised it's fallen off my bottom of my desk. I wonder, hopefully it doesn't all doesn't fall out and we all get cut off.
I like that comment. Yeah, that comment there is correct. I've lost it already. About 2018, last time Ireland were on the same level as 2018. Ireland, and I've said this before and been torn apart and then proven right when it comes to World Cup, yeah. Ireland peak between World Cups terribly well. They are really good at it. And now's their peak. Now is their best time. So they are mid-World Cup cycle. This is when, well, even late mid-World Cup cycle, but this is when they are at their best. So, yeah, this is almost peak Ireland, isn't it? When they're coming on to this sort of thing. And then by the time they get to the World Cup, injuries, form have happened and everything's gone wrong. And then we go back to seeing that same old Ireland again. Your desk's going to completely fall apart, Paul. It's a bit like your chair. You need a new one.
Yes. I do. Now, folks, I do need a new chair. I need a gaming chair like
this.
Like Cornflake has got. So, folks, help me get a gaming chair by becoming a supporter of New Zealand Sports Radio. Head over to patreon.com/NZSportRadio and become a supporter so that I can get a gaming chair, please, folks, so I can actually be comfortable rather than in my, this wooden one that is not so comfy.
Hey, here's a stat for you. The possibility of James Lowe scoring the game-winning try against the All Blacks later in the year. How about that? I could really jump on my bandwagon then of James Lowe to be an All Black, or, you know, from days gone by. Look, he was good enough.
The combination of James Lowe and D-Mac is fantastic. It's just such a the counter-attacking, kick counter-attack from those two is brilliant. I think he's good enough.
Yes.
Aaron says Razor with Leon as the... What?
Leon McDonald. No, terrible player, terrible coach.
Whoa, harsh. So if he is a terrible coach, who is behind the Blues kind of rise up to play the way they play.
That's what kind of makes me look bad at saying that now, because the Blues are actually stepping up decent enough. But hey, maybe you just need a time. Maybe you just need a time. As long as no one says John Kerwin, then I'm okay with it.
Oh, geez. Sorry. John Kerwin, fantastic player. Done wonderful things for mental health.
Terrible pundit.
Terrible pundit and terrible coach.
I do have to eat my words, but on that, the Blues have been going pretty good. So I'm not a fan. Leon McDonald, terrible player. Didn't rate him at all. Solid. Caleb Ralph 2.0 almost between those two. But yeah, I mean, they are to the table, so you can't argue with that. They are where they are. And I guess as a coach takes the fall when they play poorly, he's got to take the credit as well when they play well. So yeah. He's definitely.
How good a coach is Caleb Ralph? I've never seen him.
I meant as a player. Coach. I'd hate to see him coaching. Oh, don't even go there.
Oh dear. Anyway, as Aaron says, who's top of the table and how's the Highlanders going? Well, the best way to find that out is to become a supporter of New Zealand Sports Radio over at patreon.com/NZSportRadio, because Cornflake and I recorded a show today. It's an hour long show. That is a midterm report card, midterm report for the Super Rugby, for Super Rugby Pacific. So if you want to listen to that, become a supporter. That will be coming out tomorrow on the Patreon, or you can watch it as well. It will be available as a video or as an audio over at patreon.com/NZSportRadio. Other things are available over there as well. I was just having a quick look at things that have gone up there recently. Was where's women's rugby going? That was a timely piece for me by me on that one, wasn't it? That's more about where the game's going generally, not so much about the report from New Zealand Rugby. An interview I had with Alex Lankville about his 50 caps, and also why he's playing so well. Best bits from various post-match interviews. I had a chat with Atu Molly about Chiefs culture and how he's going. Coming back from injury as well. So look, there's those interviews and stuff that's all on there. And Aaron says, can the Highlanders win in Australia?
Yeah, they play the draw. So, yep.
They play the draw in Australia? Or because he's saying in Australia rather than against an Australian team. So just have a quick check up as to who do they play in Australia. They play the Brumbies. They then play the Fijian Drua and the Reds. And also the Rebels. So I think, yeah, the Rebels and the Fijian Drua, two wins there for that one.
Three-win season, baby. Yep.
Is three wins enough to get you into the top eight? We will find out.
It's enough to keep us off the foot of the table. That's all we need to worry about. Beat the Drua, beat Moana Pacifica. That's all we need to do. it's not like we're afraid of tanking a season, anyone, to get good draft picks or to rely on next season. It's all right.
Yep. Exactly. So let's have a quick look back on last weekend, because there were some cracking games last weekend. It started off Crusaders versus the Blues. And sorry about this, Cornflake, because again, you're going to have to say, wow, the Blues actually pulled it off, because Carlos, who? In 2004 was when Carlos. Did his thing, and was the last time that the Blues won down in Christchurch. Wow. So 18 years later,
wow.
We have this game. Now, look, there's a lot of talk about this game around the cards and stuff. And Steve and I do talk about the cards as part of our review. But, Scott Barrett, shoulder to the head, pretty clear red card. And they should have known that, because they had one previous week with their prop. But this game was actually lost in the first half hour. That's where you had the break from Bowden Barrett. And then Barrett peels off to the blind side. And for the break for that Christie scored from, where he spots against Havili and Cullen Grace in midfield. Havili goes, keeps drifting. Cullen Grace can't drift fast enough, and Bowden Barrett steps inside. He goes blindside, gives it to Papi Lihi, who does some fantastic footwork to march himself straight through Mawanga and whoever the nine was at the time. So basically one of the better ball carriers at the moment in Super Rugby Pacific, smashing through a 9 and 10 and over he goes for a try, and suddenly it's 7-17. Now the rest of the game was actually won by the Crusaders, because the Blues only scored 10 more points, whereas the Crusaders scored 16 points in the rest of the game, even though they picked up a red and a yellow card. But that slow start and that fast start, or Bowden Barrett's basically stepping in, so a bit like Carlos Spencer's magic 18 years before, Bowden Barrett's magic here saw the put the Blues into too big a lead. So I think a lot of people are spending too much time on those cards and not so much on the beginning of the game, Steve.
Do we have to talk about cards? I mean, I said it on Twitter. It's just like, why? I can understand the start of the season, but why would you go into a tackle with your arm tucked and straight to the shot? Doesn't matter where you hit him. It's still a no-arm tackle. You hit him in the knee. It's still a no-arm tackle, isn't it? You're not rapping. I don't get what the benefit is of them doing this. You're gonna make an authoritative hit, okay, if you get away with it. The guy was already tackled. He was already tackled. So what authority are you going to make there when he's already going to be on the ground, you know, at your feet anyway? It's silly. And I don't understand why they sort of try on that sort of thing. You just get, you know, go back to the normal tackle sort of technique and do it properly. It doesn't advantage you in any way whatsoever. But cards, I mean, there's so much talk about the cards and red cards because it's only the 20-minute sort of thing. So it doesn't really hugely affect the game so much. And the teams are so much prepared for it now that it doesn't have so much of a huge effect. In fact, the teams that normally get the cards usually score the points. This is how crazy it's going now.
Okay, now Clayton McMillan gave us a bit of insight into that by accident the other day. So the Chiefs, they were up 15 on 13 against the Blues. And he said, we have trained on how to play when you're down to 13 men. We haven't trained on how to play when you're playing, when you're attacking 13 men. That's a problem on our part. We've done that wrong. As you say, all the teams practice on what to do when they get cards because they know they're going to get them. They forget or don't practice enough on what to do when the opposition get cards because, look, in this day and age, the opposition is getting cards too. And as you say, they just don't train. They try to play the same way against 15 as though they're playing 15 rather than where can we find the space on the pitch because there's more space somewhere. And that's what they need to do.
And they often force it too much too, don't they? Like they think, okay, well, there's two players missing or one player missing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The whole, and it's like, well, you know, they try and kind of do too much rather than just playing a natural plan, finding overlaps, drawing and passing, you know, the simple sort of stuff that's eventually going to give you open players in positions. And being smart about it, you know, if you lose an outside back, your space is obviously going to be in those wider sort of channels, isn't it? Someone's going to have to drop back to cover the fullback if he goes off. Things like that. If you lose a flanker, obviously the forward's going to be a bit down in the power. So it's about being smart about how they're playing it. But I don't think it affects the game too much these days. I do agree with you that the Blues won this game at the start. Good start. But I think more than that is how they defended for that long period at the end. Defense won that game. And the Crusaders normally so good. And they would have thought that too. They would have gone to half time and they would have thought, well, let's just build our way over the next 20 minutes, get close enough, use that last 10 minutes like we always do to hammer home that victory. And they almost did that as well. So it's a typical, almost typical Crusaders performance on how they fight back into the game. But the Blues defensively just kind of out-muscled them. And that harks back to the confidence sort of thing that the Blues play so well with their results, where they are, how they're playing, and the belief. And they get that belief in them, and they do become a different sort of team. And if they can carry that on for the rest of the season, yeah, they will be incredibly difficult to stop.
Yep. Edward says, the water boy comes on and tells them a move to make. Yes, it's getting to be a bit like NFL, where you have a play caller on the sideline. We saw that especially with the Hurricanes against the Crusaders, where Corrie Jane ran on and said, go to the corner, go to the corner. Yeah, right. Okay. That worked out well, didn't it? as Aaron said, yeah, the Blues buttoned off instead of keep the attack up. Look, and I think that was a mistake for them, and they nearly lost the game. At the end of the day, if Sever Reese is on the outside rather than that lock, he gets into the corner, and the game's lost potentially. So it was like watching a giraffe running his treacle as he was trying to make it to that corner. But there we go.
How good did he play too, by the way, that young fellow? I think Dom Gardner, I think it was. Yep. A cracking game. Young guy. Mm. Was it his first match or one of his first matches anyway? New player, really, really impactful. I was quite impressed by him. And a number of players actually throughout this competition coming through with all the injuries and players missing and, playing 6 million games in 3 days. Guys are coming through the system and they are impressing. It's good to see, especially in the forwards, which I think New Zealand rugby is well, I mean, we're lacking everywhere, but still, it's good to see those guys coming through.
Okay, I think it's, I think a lot of us thought that, a lot of people after we sort of saw Nonu and Smith sort of drop out, we thought that centres were going to be a problem, and it has proven to be. We still don't have a 12, apart from Geordie, but locks has been a problem until pretty much last year, when suddenly you got Va'ai, Lord coming through. Arcoy also at the Chiefs is definitely decent. A lot of people have been sort of big things about Parry Parkinson, but I'm not a great. I think he's a good Super Rugby player, but I don't think he's going to be international standard. But you say, young locks coming through in Canterbury, so many so that Romano had to move up to the Blues. So there's a lot of, there are a lot of young players coming through, which is good to see on that one. Noxorai says, you can't have all defenders bent low because of the eyes off the game. You can still bend low and look up. And that's exactly what NFL teaches you. And players who bend low and look down don't get contracts. It's as simple as that. If you don't keep your head up and keep scanning. There were players who have tried to cross over from rugby to NFL. And one player, he basically didn't get a contract because he couldn't look up while he was bending, which is a bit strange. But there you go. It's these things you have to learn as you come through, as you're young. But as you keep looking, otherwise your head's going to get smashed into something. Aaron says, Romano's been immense to the Blues. He has been fantastic.
Yep.
The Crusaders had enough experience locks already, and they had young ones coming through. So you're going to let someone go. And he's been a great replacement for Patrick Tuipulotu. And I think he'll be great to stay there. If they can get him for another year as a mentor role, it'd be fantastic for them. Aaron, where do the Crusaders keep getting these locks from? They all come from Auckland high schools. You know that's where the Crusaders get all their players from. Well done to the Blues. Great win. It was close. Rebels versus the Reds. Essentially, a game won by interceptions and turnovers. In the end, it finished at 32-36, so pretty close. Early tries. The turnover and the interception that if he hadn't caught it, he gets penalty and potentially even a yellow card for the turnover. And then they had another one in the second half as well, when I think they were down to 14 men. So a game won by that. Shows basically how the Rebels have come from being a rabble to being quite a decent team.
Yeah, this Rebels team just didn't go away, did they? The Reds got out the decent wee lead over them, and then they just fought their way back. And then they let them go again, or they got away again, and then they fought their way back. This is a really good performance by the Rebels in ways, but also probably shot themselves in the foot in the same sense by giving it away. But I think they can certainly take heart by the way they're improving throughout the season, because this is a game that if you'd watched after the first couple of rounds of the competition, you'd say, oh, the Reds will win this, you know, take away the three from the Rebels score, and the 36-3. We'll give it an actual rugby score. They should get thumped. So it's good that the Rebels are actually competitive, and I think the Reds were a bit guilty of probably taking them a bit too lightly going into that game and thinking they will just, you know, canter away with it quite easy. Gave them a bit of a fright. And it's good. It's good for the competition because the Rebels looked horrible at the start. They really, really did. And now they've actually come up pushing the Reds. They've pushed a few teams, got their win against the Force as well. Massive, massive turnaround over, you know, five weeks or so to actually become a competitive side. So not perfect, not great, but competitive. And I think that's the key thing, especially for those bottom half Australian sides, is that they can challenge the Reds and the Brumbies, give them a bit of a fright, give them a bit of a test, and actually make them play properly, make them play their good players, make them put out their best rugby. And we saw that, and it was a fairly entertaining game. There's tries all over the place, points, you know, it's like you said, intercepts. It was flying all over the place. You didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, and look, we've talked about how basically you watch a New Zealand Super Rugby game and you watch an Australian one and go, oh my God, thankfully. Yes, and look, the Crusaders Blues game was a very, very, very good game. So it was a step down, but it wasn't a step down to a horrible game. It was a step down to a good game rather than a very good game, which was great to see. And you can see those breakaway tries in this stat. Rebels 375 meters running, whereas the Reds are 536. So about 150 more meters running with one less run. 92 runs by the Rebels, 91 by the Reds. That was those breakaway tries. Two clean breaks to seven tells you where the Reds pick this one up. So again, this Reds team is a defending team that then kills you on counterattack. Moving on then, and I guess, do we talk about the game or do we just talk about the controversy at the end for the last second of the game between the Hurricanes and the Highlanders?
Okay, go for it.
Is that next? It's not next. Sorry. Oh. Chiefs Moana was before that. So I was at Chiefs Moana. And sorry, folks, I only realized before the show that I hadn't uploaded the post-match interview. So the post-match interviews will be uploaded onto the Patreon side, where you can hear from Henry Te'efu, who's the head coach, who was his first time ever captaining a side as he captained Moana Pacifica. You hear about his experience of doing that. We also obviously had Clayton McMillan and Sam Kane as well. So I'll put those up probably be tomorrow morning to the Patreon site. From that game, but basically the Chiefs went out to a 24-5 lead in that first half. After half time, Moana came out really strong, got a try, nearly got a second try, but there was a really long period of play. Both players had someone down injured. It was a chip, and Nankerville got in there for his second try. A yellow card soon afterwards, and basically the game was gone for Moana. There's a comment in the live chat about the Moana's line-out being dysfunctional. Yeah, 11 line-outs in one from 19. So what, that's 8 lost line-outs in the game. Ouch, that's massive. But to be fair to them, 6 games in 23 days means they've had no time to train. They're just spending all their time in recovery, having massages. Otherwise, their bodies fall apart.
They'll be all right.
So, yeah.
I wouldn't complain about that.
Sorry, Steve's just gone into dreamland about, ooh, massaging.
Ooh. Just you play a game of rugby, then have a massage for them next week. They'll be all right, wouldn't it? Look, I mean, the Chiefs were pretty entertaining, weren't they? I liked how they got out there and played some exciting rugby. You know, they loved the little chip and chase. They loved the little kicks to teammates. I think they played a bit more expressive than we've probably seen from them in their recent sort of games. It's probably been a bit more high pressure. I think getting out that lead nice and early, they kind of, I guess, would you say relaxed, or they probably just went out and played the natural game knowing without that sort of pressure on them to fight right to the end. So I think it was quite nice for the Chiefs to actually get out there and express their rugby a bit more. And they have that exciting ability in those outside backs to do that sort of thing as well. So it's good to see. Moana Pacifica, yeah, saw some cool things, saw some rubbish. That's a new team. That's what they're going to offer. Set piece was atrocious. But they get out there and score tries. They enjoy the rugby, and they give it a good nudge. And they've brought some good players through, and it's good to see these players that we don't get to see so much at Super Rugby level exposed to that. And there's a lot of good players in that squad. Time is going to be their friend. As they get better, they'll improve, get that sort of stuff going. Like I say, all those games in that time, yeah, it's tough to get continuity when you're changing your whole 23 almost in 3 days, playing another game, and then another game 4 days later. It's tough. But, hey, they're sticking in there. I think they're well coached. They're looked after. And they're entertaining in times.
They are. And they're good to chat to. That's pretty much all of those on that one. Nankerville, questions during the game. Is Nankerville in the conversation for the All Blacks? Yes, he is. But so is Lester Fionuku, Goodhue, obviously not Anthony Leonard Brown, who's injured, but Enor, Tapia, Jordy Barrett. There's a lot of people, Havili. There's a lot of people in that conversation for centres. So, yes, Nankerville is playing well enough to put himself in that conversation, but I'm not sure he's necessarily good enough to end up in the actual squad yet. We'll have to wait and see.
Injuries.
Yes. And Goodhue hasn't played yet. Jack, that is. The other Goodhue's injured himself and he's out. Thomas Manger Jensen as well. Yep, another player is putting his name in the in there, perhaps more for his potential than his actual performances currently. I also want to know what's going to happen with Billy Proctor. And how many players do you know that come that their first contract at Super Rugby level is a 5-year contract? That's a massive contract that he got when he first signed. So the Hurricanes really do rate him massively. Aaron says a lot of players have gone past Havili in my books. Yes, totally agree. Like Dave Havili showed he's a Super Rugby centre, but not an international one last year.
Mm.
And we got nods from Cornflake there for our podcast listeners.
It's a tough position to fill, isn't it? It really is. I mean, there's a lot of players and they're all kind of, no one's reaching out and going, bang, I'm considerably better. Or, you know, there's a lot of players around similar sort of levels and they're going to have to find out who's got the cream and who's not got the cream, because there's only one way to find that out too. And that's throwing them into the fire, and you sink or swim. That's where it's going to be found out. Yeah, you look at all these players, like New Zealand rugby is full of them over the last decade or two who have performed amazingly at international level. Ma'a Nonu, I'm looking at you predominantly, garbage at Super Rugby level normally, especially when he was an All Black, but first name on the team sheet with a black jersey. So it's finding that guy. It's finding that guy who can step up to that next level when presented with that challenge. And that's what an All Black coach is all about.
Yeah, I think it's been a bit unfair trying to fill Martin on his boots, and the fact that a lot of players he doesn't run over players and pass and kick. Well, neither did Nonu when he started. Let's be blunt here. He added those things to his game, and he added them very well. So, but he was not all. He was not the player he finished was not the player he started.
Definitely not
on that one.
No, he couldn't kick for nuts, could he, when he first started out? He was terrible.
Well, I wasn't asked to kick either. That's why you're not. You've got Dan Carson next to you. You don't have to worry about kicking, right? Dan will do the kicking. When he gives you the ball, you either give it to Conrad or you run. That's all.
Yeah. Keep it simple.
Oh, dear. Yes. Highlanders Hurricanes, then. So the Highlanders jumped out to a. My notes basically here are halftime 6-14, and then controversy at end. Obviously there was a game. We had a red card for a shoulder to the head, which, as we've discussed, is a red card. But the Highlanders got themselves back into this. And then we had that controversy at the end. Look, I'm not a great fan. In fact, I hate the idea that getting held up over the line means a scrum means end of game. I think it should be a scrum. I think the game should keep going. I don't think that should be the stoppage that stops, that ends a game, to me. But that's a separate topic to this game. Your thoughts on this one? I was driving during this. I've only seen short highlights, and I've not seen the incident that a lot of the Highlanders players are bringing up about the black eye. So your thoughts on this game?
Oh, yeah, that black eye didn't look as bad as it probably ended up to be. It's hard. Contact the head, you're in trouble, aren't you? So I guess there was contact with head. So as innocuous as it did look at the time, there was clearly obvious contact with the head when he had a big black eye about 2 minutes after it happened. It's that same old story, isn't it? Head, bad. You know, doesn't matter how it happens, what it happens. If it's involved with the head, it's bad. But the end, I agree with you on the end of the game. I hate it when teams are chasing the win like this, a couple of points or a point behind, and they just go with that forward thing. Because when you hit it up like that with the forwards with short plays, yeah, you're close to the line, and you're not losing ground. But the possibility of the referee seeing that you've scored the try, or that it's visible and that, you know, it's clear and confirmed that he scored that try, is you're pretty average. It's pretty hard to see. So that's why, not that I prefer that they use the forwards or the backs, I should say, but it's more that it makes it hard to make it clear and obvious that you scored the try. So, and like you say, when it doesn't work, it ends the game. Pfft, done.
Yep.
You're waving your arms about.
To me, I'm just... Aaron's comment is just it's a 1-point game, folks. Drop goal. Why the beep are you not setting up for a drop goal? A four-point game, I get it. Yeah, keep bashing away at the line and take the risk of being held up. But a 1-point game? Get in the pocket. Mr. Banks.
Close enough.
Yeah, I'll be close enough. They got held up over the line, of course.
Yeah.
Noxa Wright says, was it a seatbelt tackle? Yes, seatbelt tackle. Aaron Senna came in from the side. I mean, there was multiple. There's multiple infringements every single ruck, but there were definitely multiple ones at the end of that one.
Did he get it over the line?
So yeah, just drop goal. The Highlanders, whilst they'll complain about this, they had the opportunity to win this one, and they fluffed it.
Yeah, they did 100%, and it was. They had multiple opportunities to win this game. I think second half, they really did dominate it overall with the areas of the field that they were in. If not a lot of this matchup, they were in good spots and didn't make it count. Like we've talked about before, their ability to finish the chances is definitely lacking in that team. But yeah, make it clear cut. Make it clear cut. Make it obvious. Make it clear that the ball is over the line. Oh, geez. Wasn't it Mitch Hunt that kicked that drop goal from 40-odd metres out for the... Was it Canterbury or the Crusaders against the Highlanders year before they signed him?
Jeez. So he can do it. Noxon Wright says, drop kicks are not easy under pressure. They're not easy under pressure.
You're a professional rugby player.
Kicking penalties are not easy under pressure. I tell you, unless I'm out in front about 10 metres, anything further than that, I'm going to hope. Yes, it's not easy. I get that. But this is part of what they... Yeah, this is what they practice for hours and hours a week. To be able to do, as you say, professional rugby player. That's what they practice to do.
Frustrating. So,
yeah. Frustrating. And as Aaron says, yeah, Highlands have fluffed two games in a row now. Should have beaten the Crusaders as well. So yeah, there's something perhaps some question marks. Well, actually, listen to the show that Steve and I did record earlier. So it'll come out tomorrow as part of the on Patreon special, where we could have talked about the Highlanders a little bit as well. Who was the Highlanders head coach during the 2016? Plumtree, who's gone off to
Jamie Joseph was the coach.
No, no, that's the Highlanders, not the Hurricanes.
Hurricanes, sorry. Oh, yeah. Also the Highlanders. One trick, mine.
Anyway, I can't remember who it was, but he's left. And he got replaced by Plumtree, and Plumtree went off to the All Blacks. So, yeah, that's what's happened. That's how I've gone blank as the Hurricanes head coach. But anyway.
I just think 2015, when you're talking about Super Rugby, it's clearly the champions. So, yeah, the first thing that comes to mind.
Thank you, Edward. Chris Boyd. That's right. So that's the Highlands Hurricanes. Force Waratahs. This game was over in the first 15 minutes. Three tries. It was 24-0 after 14 minutes. The Force were just a mess at that point with their defence. Holes all over the place, disjointed, just not. And the Waratahs just walked in. Mm-hmm. The Waratahs, to be fair to the Force, they tightened things up and played much better rugby for the rest of the game. But if you're 24 points down after 14 minutes, the chances of winning that game is pretty much zilch. So,
made it too easy, didn't it? The Waratahs just pretty much pumped them at the start and just cruised on. It was kind of like autopilot sort of thing. With some Force tried to make some respectability out of it. I guess you could say they kind of did. They got some points on the board, unlike the Chiefs failed to do recently. But, yeah. I mean...
Ouch!
Got to stab that at this. I mean, points on the board. Take your threes in the first half at least. Come on, teams. Western Force, they got troubles, I think. They got some sort of problems in there. And the Waratahs, yeah, you wouldn't be surprised them winning that game, but surprised at the margin and how easily they went about it. And a lot of these tries were like you say, they just waltzed their way in. They weren't grafted tries. They weren't hard. They weren't spectacular. And like, whoa, that was amazing. Like we've seen some of, but yeah, they just did the basic things. That is where they got over the Force.
Right. And to be fair, look, the Force came back, right? The Force had 62% possession and 67% territory, right? The rest of the game.
Like the Blue, bro. They're just like, we're leading by a million points. Let's just see it out.
The rest of the game was competitive, but it was all over in the first quarter of an hour anyway. So who cares? Now, I'm going to put Johan's. Who cares about the rest of the game? You basically go to bed, don't you? It's all over. Yeah. Johan keeps asking us about end games rugby. Cornflake and I both do remember the YouTube guy end games. I know I talked to him at least I was on one of his shows, and I think he was on one of my shows. So I think you've had him on your shows before as well.
Yep.
I'll be honest, I don't know where he's gone or what's happened to him. Mm. We both do remember him, and both were
good chat
on each other's shows. Yep, absolutely. Did you hear Michael Checker is going to be? Yes, absolutely. A man who says he doesn't do any analysis. Have you seen how he does? Look, Michael Checker is one of the best. Has been one of the best sort of pundits that we've seen.
Yeah.
On TV. You're trying to tell me he doesn't know the rugby and doesn't do analysis. Bollocks.
He's good. As far as the halftime shows kind of go, he's actually one that kind of you make watch him and go, yeah, that actually does make sense. He's actually he kind of actually what he's looking at. It's deeper than you initially see on the surface. So he's not bad. Better than the New Zealand ones, if I can have a gripe.
I'll just sit back. Off you go.
Jeez. I mean, Tony Johnson, Nisbet and those guys, even Marshall I can handle, but gee, Dag and his little buddies. Oh, terrible. Aren't they terrible? These guys, you guys in the chat, want to get some sort of analysis on the game. You don't want to hear about how Israel Dagg's weekend went with Corey Jane or things like that. I don't want matey mateys. I don't want, you know, what's a nickname so they give each other and things like that. Don't care. Thank you, Simon. Nail on the head with that one. Yes. Analyze the game. Give us some insight. Tell us things. I mean, Justin Marshall, everyone hates him because of the way he over-razzle-dazzles and boomfa, enjoyed that, yes, boy, whatever. But he does analyze the game pretty well, and his comments generally are pretty decent. But no, Dagg and those guys on the sideline. Jeff Olsen, okay. But these new fellas coming in this season, yeah. Thank you, Nick Turnell. Yeah. Buzz phrases. Yeah, good word.
It's called buzz phrases. Edwards would rather listen to Mexted.
100%.
How old is he now? I mean, come on.
100?
Maybe in the past. okay, one of the problems with commentators in New Zealand is they're all way, way past retirement date.
Former players.
All former players. You're quite right, yeah. But the professional commentators, unfortunately, have lost their eyesight I've forgotten who the Highlanders guy that got in trouble for his Japanese
Wheeler
joke. Wheeler, yeah, I mean, yep. he's classic. He's been brought in to be matey mates, does a matey mate thing, and they get pissed off about it. It's like, well, look, this is what you've paid for, this is what you get, rather than actual insight into the game. So it's all about names now. Chris Boyd did an interview on the Rugby Dungeon and talked about the difference of when you become a coach as opposed to a player, and especially head coaches. He says, look, the biggest thing is you've got to understand the full game. Players do not understand the full game. What they do is they understand their role extremely well. Israel Dagg's role is get on the end of the ball and put it down over the line. Be in the right place to catch it. Well, that's what his role was, essentially. Now, I'm oversimplifying things, obviously, but a lot of the stuff he doesn't have to know about. And therefore, therefore, as a pundit, he becomes a bad pundit. He's never had to be captain. He's never had to think about make those sort of decisions. He's never actually been in playing that sort of, or maybe way back, but hasn't played 10, 9, where you're constantly looking at and trying to make decisions. And therefore, he doesn't make a good pundit because he hasn't had the overview of the game. He has had a very narrow view, very narrow, extremely detailed, fantastic view of being an outside back. But that doesn't make a good pundit.
Mm-hmm. It depends on what they're looking for. Like, what does Sky actually want from those guys that do that role? That's ultimately their decision, isn't it? But to me, as a viewer, I would like that sort of thing, like the Michael Checkers, like that sort of halftime thing where they break down that play and say, hey, look, they're going with this sort of system to manipulate this sort of defensive pattern. I look at that and go, yeah, smart, you know. But Israel Dagg sitting there talking about, you know, what he did 3 weeks ago, you know, it's just, it is not the same. Chalk and cheese.
What you want is someone who can put across complex an insight in a language that mm-hmm. your casual fan can understand.
Yep.
Right? That's what you really want to do. Unfortunately, what Sky have gone down for is we've got to appeal to the casual fan. The way we appeal to the casual fan is with matey chat with names they know about.
I know that guy. I know. I watched him play in the World Cup.
He made funny adverts with Air New Zealand when he didn't get selected for the Rugby World Cup.
Jeez, and my Chiefs dagger was a bit sharp. Jeez. And it's like the interviews as well. I'd prefer someone to sit there professionally and say, you know, hi, John, what are your thoughts? Rather than, hey, bro, you know, I just professional comments, you know, speak about what they need to speak about. Professionalism, I guess, the way to describe it.
And Simon says, yeah, I've noticed the Sky side doing the ACC commentary. Absolutely. A bunch of, middle-aged white guys who think they're funny. Yay, that's a way to appeal to a diverse audience. Jeez, it's just the same old people again. Maybe the 10-14 guys. Yeah. Now, look, the 10-14 guys, unfortunately, they went and went over to Spark as part of the Rugby World Cup move, thinking that they would, I'm guessing here, thinking there would be more rugby work there ongoing from that. There wasn't. And Sky went, anyone who went over to Spark, we're not touching with a barge pole. Fuck, go. Beep off, basically. You saw Scotty Stevenson put out a tweet moaning about that his mates who he brought over all couldn't, all suddenly were out of work. Well, mate, that's what kind of happens sometimes when you burn bridges. Sky were not, Sky did not play nice around that. Which is their commercial and decision up to them. But yeah.
Hey, Spark come in with a bit of a heavy hand, didn't they? They come in, they really tried, and they still are to a degree trying to really, you know, plunge into that sort of Sky viewer base. And they're still trying. But I think that initial thrust into it did ruffle a few feathers. I don't think it's worked in the long scheme. I think they seem to be, I don't know, just other people might see it another way, but they're not, they don't have that sort of impact that they have right at the start. They come in, they got a few big deals, but now Sky is kind of resumed normalcy and they are kind of, I guess, keeping their weight, you know, on their side and dealing with things accordingly. But yeah, hey, they're fully from their right. You know, that's like commercial war, isn't it? They're going at it like that. You're a direct rival now. You are completely against us. So that's business.
Oh, look, and Sky, I mean, Sky's response was to get rid of John Follett, who was basically out of his depth running a company like that and had been in the role way too long. They've gone through two people for that one. Gone through two CEOs since then. And what did they do? They sold their, they literally sold themselves to New Zealand Rugby to make sure they had rugby. Right, they were not going to allow to get to a situation where Spark had could counterbid. They were, before it becomes an open bidding process, here you go, you can have X percent of the company to allow us to continue having rugby. It caught Spark, caused a massive change at New Zealand at Sky. Let's be honest. Do Spark Sport have the rights to the Women's World Cup? Yes, they do. So the Women's Rugby World Cup will be on Spark, not on Sky. I don't know. I don't think the rights for the 2023 Rugby World Cup have been sold yet, as far as I can tell. We'll have to see whether Spark do try and bid for that. But basically, yeah, Spark came in. Let's try and get rugby. Failed because, yeah, Sky made sure they did not win. With the current viewing numbers, they're probably quite happy about that, actually.
But there you go. I mean, if you want to be a powerhouse in New Zealand sort of television watching, that's your go-to, isn't it? Cricket in the summer. Cricket's still the big thing in the summer these days. It was back in the day. But, yeah, and your rugby pretty much for 10 months of the year. That's your New Zealand viewership, isn't it? That's your meat and drink.
Well, I think actually league now. Is a big one. I think you're probably getting more people watching league than you are rugby, unless it's an All Blacks test.
Yeah,
essentially,
that's true.
One of the things about Spark is that Spark changed its CEO from the CEO who wanted to have the multi-channel and the media side to someone who wasn't quite so interested, and so hence, yes, they became less aggressive. Sian's mentioned something about apparently TV3 are now owners of Spark, which might also change how the approach has taken. But anyway, there we go, folks. Enough
media talk.
Off topic, exactly. Boom. There's a rabbit hole. Let's go down it.
Yeah.
great to have you back on the show, Steve. Thank you for joining me. Thank you, everyone. Don't forget, 8 p.m. every Monday for the Drive More Show. head over to patreon.com/EntertheSportRadio for exclusive content over there as well. And we've also got the standoff show, which is our NRL show on a Wednesday night at 8 p.m. So thank you, everyone, for joining us, and see you all next Monday.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.